Hello, everybody. My name is Luke, and I am your humble host of the Space Travel Podcast. I hope everybody is doing awesome today. It is very stormy here and has been for the past, few weeks. Last week, we talked about the Falcon 9 and how awesome it is, and we gave a little bit of an overview of that spacecraft and the engines and all that good stuff, which got me thinking that the next episode that we did should probably be about Starship. But in order to talk about Starship, we have to talk about the Raptor engine. Now, this is a very, very prevalent topic out there these days. The Raptor engine is one of a kind. There hasn't been really any other engines out there built to match it. It's got a very high thrust to weight ratio, and it achieves a very high chamber pressure, if I remember correctly. So, what I'd like to do today is just kind of do an episode that's, just kind of sit here and talk about the Raptor engine first, and then we'll, delve into some specs on the Starship itself, and kind of some ideas on what the Starship may be used for. I do want to say thank you to everybody who's listened to the podcast and supported me. I do appreciate it, and thank you for your comments. It means a lot to me. I have a lot of fun doing this, so that's very encouraging. Thank you very much. All right, I'm going to talk about the Raptor engine first, the Mighty Raptor. All right, so the Raptor engine is a full-flow staged combustion cycle engine. It runs off Methalox, which is methane and oxygen. They are deep cryo, so deep cryo means that they are more near their freezing point rather than their boiling point. There are two multi-stage turbo pumps on the Raptor engines. Now, when we're talking thrust, so we have to remember that the Raptor engine is still in active development. So the numbers and whatnot that we have out there these days, they're more of an estimate, more based off of the tests that they have completed recently and all that. They are still developing this, so all these numbers will turn out differently along with the Starship. The Starship is, as we know, being built in Boca Chica, Texas, and it is also up for change because, to tell you the truth, it was kind of like the Apollo program, In the Apollo program, they were building a spacecraft, and they didn't even really know what it needed to look like. They just knew what they needed to do, and in turn, they just kind of took that knowledge and they made things that would work. And they're doing a similar thing with Starship. So keep that in mind as we progress forward and get through this. So it has a specific impulse of 382 seconds. That's 3,750 meters per second at a height of 3.1 meters or about 10.24 feet. Now that's pretty big. It looks very small when you're looking at it in pictures online and whatnot, but it's a rather large engine. And that was for the vacuum version of the Raptor. The sea level version will have a specific impulse of 334 seconds. That equals out to about 3,280 meters per second. Pretty impressive, if you ask me. This engine will be using a spark ignition rather than the TEA, TEB used on the Falcon 9 and Falcon Heavy. I'm going to say that this is to help make the engine easier for reignition during flight, because this engine is going to have to do a lot of relights, landing, all that kind of stuff. So this engine will have to be able to be turned off and turned on really easily. So the pros of this are the elimination of fuel oxidizer interseal, which is a possible failure point, lower pressures required through the pumping system, thus increasing the lifespan and preventing failure, and the ability to increase chamber pressure, increasing performance and other variables. They expect the life expectancy of the Raptor engine to be around 1,000 flights. Now, 1,000 flights, I mean, to me, 1,000 flights, that's a lot of flights. But then again, you know, they're planning on reusing these rockets over and over and over again. Elon Musk says that he'd like to have 1,000 of them. And he'd like to be doing, you know, 2 or 3 flights a day and whatnot. So those are a little bit of the specs of the Raptor engine and what it's capable of doing, and kind of just some little details about how it's ignited and all that. Now, a full flow stage and a closed cycle or a closed generator cycle, and these are all different types of rocket engines, and there are various kinds out there. It's definitely worth hopping on the internet, doing a quick search, and learning a little bit about what's out there. Okay, now, the star of the show, let's talk about Starship and just some details about what Starship is, how big it is, and all that good stuff. Elon Musk has some very large aspirations for Starship and all of its capabilities. Starship is going to be used for everything from cargo missions, refueling missions, just to, you know, refuel other starships to head out to places like Mars, the moon, whatnot, and suborbital flights here on Earth. So it's going to be a very multi-useful rocket, and they've actually broken it down into 2 different sections: Starship and then Super Heavy. And we'll talk about each one of these separately, just to, you know, make sure we're as detailed as we can be anyway. Alright, so just Starship. Starship by itself is 50 meters high, which comes about 160 feet. It's made of stainless steel. They are actually right now developing their own alloy of stainless steel, like a 304L. They just did a test not too long ago on the test tank SN7, and it was a success from what I understand. After the first test, it didn't explode. It actually just popped a little hole. So they went in and they fixed that little hole, and they retested it all the way to failure, and that was quite a spectacular thing to see. If y'all want to see the video of that, you guys can go check out Lab Padre and many other people on YouTube have some very awesome footage, but Lab Padre's got one of the clearest videos of that particular rupture. But it's got the Starship also has a diameter of 30 feet or 9 meters, which, you know, to me, in my head anyway, as just a regular old layperson, 30 feet doesn't sound like that big. I mean, you know, you can walk 30 feet in no time flat, but 30 feet in diameter for the size of a rocket, I mean, it's big. It's huge. And you can see how big it is just by going on the internet and checking out all the great photos that those people down in Boca Chica are taking to keep us all in the loop. You can see these guys in lifts next to just the tank, no nose cone or anything on it, and it's just gigantic. I keep forgetting how large the Starship is actually going to be. The Starship is going to have a payload capacity of about 100 plus tons, something around that range. So, I mean, it's going to be a gigantic and powerful rocket. It's going to be so awesome. Its propellant capacity is about 1,200 tons. So that's 1,200 tons of propellant that can be loaded on the Starship by itself. Okay, I want to talk about Super Heavy now. Super Heavy would be the first stage booster of the Starship stack, and it is 70 meters tall, so that's 230 feet. And it also has a diameter of 9 meters, or 30 feet, and it is just essentially going to act as the first stage on a Falcon 9. It's going to push the Starship up and out of the atmosphere. Then it's going to turn around and probably put on a beautiful show and come back, land back on the launch pad, be reloaded with a new Starship, and do it all over again. This is going to be a spectacular machine. Just an awesome vehicle. I love the stainless steel. I'm a big fan of stainless steel in general, but it just makes everything look so much cooler. I don't think that they have started any work as of yet on the Super Heavy itself, but I do know that they have finally gotten the big crane in Boca Chica up in the air and all set up, and that crane is going to be building the new high bay, because the high bay we have now is now named the mid bay. So this is going to be a gigantic building, and this is where they will be stacking the Super Heavy booster. Now granted, this building is not going to be big enough to stack Starship on top of Super Heavy, but it's still going to be very large nonetheless and very impressive. I don't know why, but I can't keep out of my head the fact of how hard the wind blows in Texas. And these buildings seem to be just vertical rectangles. They don't have any, it's just a big wind block. You know, they must be very strong buildings to put up with some of the wind that rips through there. A few more things about Starship. Starship will be able to deliver satellites to orbit at a lot lower cost per kilogram than we're seeing nowadays. The fairing on the Starship is larger than any fairing currently in operation or in development, so that's pretty impressive in and of itself. It's also going to make it possible to deliver telescopes larger than the James Webb into space, and that's another thing that I'm extremely excited about, is the James Webb telescope. I don't want to get off on a tangent right now on that, but maybe for a future episode we'll talk a little bit more about James Webb. And we can't forget moon missions to deliver all the necessary cargo for humans to set up shop, so to speak. And last but not least, interplanetary missions to Mars and beyond. Starship it'll be our vehicle to take us past Mars, and when I say take us past Mars, I mean humans, instead of satellites being remotely controlled from Earth. These will be real people that might actually get to fly out and go see Jupiter, or, you know, swing by Titan and just check it out. But I'm ready to see some of those advancements happen. I'm ready for my generation, our generation rather, to have our Apollo moment. I think that's going to bring the world together in a way that it hasn't been brought together since the Apollo missions. And maybe we can all realize, once again, that we are all on the same planet together. And all these borders that we think we have are really just invisible lines that people put there. We're all in this ship, and we all need to depend on one another to be able to continue on and to explore the universe, discover new things, ask more questions, because I think that really all the important questions we really don't even know to ask, you know? So hopefully when all this stuff starts going, we'll see a big development in that area. Also, you know, we'll talk real quick about the propellant in-flight transfers for the Starship. So essentially what this is going to be is a Starship, like a fuel version of the Starship, will take off and get into orbit, low Earth orbit, and it'll hold there. And then the crewed version of the Starship would launch, get into LEO, meet up with the fueled up or somewhat fueled Starship there, transfer fuel over, and then the human rated Starship would take off towards Mars, the moon, or some other awesome place. And then once we're on Mars, then we can do an in situ development of our own fuel there, which would allow for easy returns back to Earth. The first flight of the Starship was announced September 17th, 2018, and I'm really gonna butcher this guy's name, but I'm gonna give it a shot. Yuzaka Maezawa. He's a billionaire from Japan, and he will fly around the moon on a 1-week long mission. This is to help fund the Starship program and an important step in giving everyday people access to space. I also have been hearing about the fact that he has bought all the seats on the first Starship, which is 7, if I remember correctly. If y'all know how many seats are going to be on there, just hit me up on Twitter at LukeStamey20, or hit me up on the podcast Twitter account at Space Travel. But I think it's 7, if I remember correctly. He bought all 7 tickets, and I believe he's going to put an artist from every category in each seat to take around the moon, and then once they get back, he's going to commission works of art from each of them about their experience flying around the moon. Now, I think that's really important. I think that would be a very awesome thing, talking about unity amongst everybody. I think that would bring a level of unity back to humans that we also haven't seen in a while either. I think that's all for today. As always, I really appreciate y'all listening. If you're listening on an Apple Podcast, please rate and share the episodes. If you have any comments or anything, hit me up at Space Travel on Twitter, and I'd be happy to talk to all of you. I appreciate everyone for listening. This is Luke Stamey with the Space Travel Podcast. Just wanted to make an extra recording for this episode. I realized that I kind of flew through the ISP section on the episode earlier. I wanted to go a little bit in more detail about what that is and what it means for an engine. The Everyday Astronaut had a great explanation for this, and he said that if you have a rocket and it has 1 kilogram of fuel inside the rocket, the ISP is how long that rocket can produce 9.8 newtons of thrust, or how many seconds that rocket can produce that. Mass is equal to velocity versus energy equal to other things. That's how they judge the ISP and whatnot. There's a formula, plug in the standard of gravity, and it can get you the ISP. So the number of seconds you can produce a force equal to the initial weight of your fuel. I just wanted to go into a little bit more detail about that. It's kind of a confusing subject even for me. I'm still learning. But anyway, I hope you all have a wonderful evening. And as always, this is Luke Stamey with the Space Travel Podcast, signing off.